deeper, closer, more real. That's what God longs for with you. Like any relationship, drawing close is where friendship grows and benefits abound. In this new series of 6 messages, we will explore the journey in a deeper walk with God. We will experience the love of God in ways we never thought possible. And because we listened to Him and chose to walk closer to Him, we will find a life of joy, happiness, peace, and much, much more. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. When we are in pain, anywhere seems better. When the torrents of trials fall upon us, we naturally revert to the times of God's great blessings. We ruminate over the fun and fullness of God's peace and prosperity. And when we yearn for the good old days, we must focus on the God who provided them. In this message, Pastor Matthew Lee Smith reminds the people of Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, about God's generosity. And that causes us to learn to refocus on His character when in trouble.
Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for Your kindness to us. And Father, we ask that You would right now come into our presence and that You would listen to our hearts and send Your Spirit to work in them. Father God, to encourage us and comfort us and strengthen us and minister to us. Lord, we pray. Father, work in us as we open Your Word. Father, we ask that You would do all of this now in the strong name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Continue to go back to this verse in Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. I want you not to forget that God created you to love you. And today, I'm going to start a new series. And today, 2 parts, especially this one and next week, I'm going to talk about Job. We're going to talk about all the suffering that people go through and the difficulty. And a lot of times, you are told by people who don't believe, you're told, well, if God is so good, why do we suffer so much? And I want to tell you that suffering is a part of life. And a lot of people believe that if God was good, there would be no suffering at all. That life would just be pain-free. And that's true. There is a place like that, and it's called heaven. But turn to your neighbor now and tell them, this isn't heaven. Okay? God is working inside of you and I. He is doing something. He's changing us. And the problems we have aren't the problems we have. The problems reveal the problems. And so a lot of times when you get in trouble, then all of a sudden the real you shows up. A couple weeks ago, a guy backed into me in the parking lot over here at Wells Fargo. And I can just remember, and all I did was go, oh. Like, I really don't need this extra work right now. You know how it is when you work with an insurance company. Now, maybe 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been the reaction I had. Probably 20 years ago, I would have went out there and all over him, too, because that's the way I was. Thank God that's not the way I am today. And the reason for that is I have learned to be patient in problems. Patient in those times when things don't seem to go right. But a lot of times we ask the question, why? Why is this happening to me now? Why do I have to go through this now? And this message is meant to instill in you some hope. In the midst of your mess, God has a message, and I want to give that hope to you today. As I teach and as you open up Job 1, I'm going to ask you to, with me, pull back the curtain. Some of you remember the Wizard of Oz years ago, and they pulled back the curtain. There was just this little measly guy back there. But I'm telling you, as we pull back the curtain of heaven, the book of Job allows us to do that. We see amazing things. We see a God who knows what's going on, and we see things that are a lot different than what we're thinking in our mind, and I want to give you some hope with that. But before we do that, I want to give a disclaimer, and I put it in your message notes. I want to give a disclaimer, and that disclaimer is that a lot of times people suffer for their own mistakes. And I'm not talking to those people today or about those people today in this message. In this message, I'm going to talk about why are you suffering when you can't figure it out. But a lot of people create a life of grief and a life of pain, and it's just simply cause and effect. They made a bad decision, and now they have to live with it. And then they complain to God, "Why God do this to me?" Because that's the way it is. The wages of sin is death. Now, if that's the case in your life today and you're listening to this message, whether you're listening to it here live or you're listening to it on the podcast, I want to be very clear. If you're doing what God directly told you not to do, you are suffering for your own failure and your own rebellion. And you need to repent and turn to God and prove your repentance today. I just want to be clear. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Would you read it with me off the screen from the CEV? "Stop sinning and turn to God. Then prove what you have done by the way you live." Cause and effect. If I drive towards a brick wall in my car at 50 miles an hour and do not apply the brakes, duh, the Lord didn't crash me. Duh. Okay, so if we're talking to you, you did this, okay, just stop and rethink. That's what repent means. And prove that you've rethought and you're going to stop. But that's not the people I'm talking to really today. Today I want you to really think about those people, maybe yourself, who can't figure out why you're going through the mess you're going through. You didn't do this. You've thought about what we've already talked about. You've already went through the disclaimer questions. What did I do? And you've thought, and you said, "God, show me what I've done." And you thought, and you prayed, and you meditated, and you didn't do that 5 minutes ago. You've been doing that for a while. And still you go, "I can't think of anything." And of course, there were little things that you thought of and you prayed about and you confessed. But you knew that an ounce of sin didn't bring a nuclear response. The mess you're in is not proportional or even geometric. It's just awful. And so you began to wonder, is God mean? Does God really love me? And you thought for a little while longer, and you thought about those abundant promises. God promised to give you an abundant life, and you're saying, "This doesn't feel very abundant." And you're in pain. And when you're in pain, anywhere seems better than where you are. Today, lots of teens, one of the leading causes of teen death is suicide. And one of the leading reasons for suicide amongst teens is they want the pain to stop. That's what they say. They want the pain to stop. When the torrents of trials fall all over us, when the suffering seems to swamp us, we start thinking about statements like, "God created you to love you, for He is good." And then we oftentimes, if you're like me, we yearn for the good old days when you didn't have this problem. If you're like me, why can't I just go back to the way it was? And most of us say, "When I was a kid." Right? Y'all with me here? Yeah? The kid line? Okay. Now, when we open up the life journal of Job, we discover in this life journal that Job has some understanding about suffering. Job has some understanding about what it is to be in pain. And I'm going to describe some of his pains along the way. But I want to start at the beginning. Okay? And the best place to start at the beginning is verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Job. Would you read with me together out of the CEV while you have your Bible open there? "Many years ago, a man named Job lived in the land of Uz. He was a truly good person who respected God and refused to do evil." Now, in your message notes, I put that in there. Circle that word, "refused to do evil." He was a good man. Some translations say he was blameless. He was blameless. Now, his goodness to God linked to his prosperity. And so verse 3 tells us he owns 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 pair of oxen, 500 donkeys, a large number of servants, and he was the richest person in the East. He ain't doing too bad. Okay? He was very successful. God was blessing him, as we're going to find out. And yet, despite the fact that he loved God, and that he refused to do evil, and that he was blessed by God, and he was the richest guy, he suffered immensely. Immensely. And we're going to find out why. In fact, there's three truths, three realities, if you will, about Job's suffering. And the first one's the hardest one to deal with. I just want to be honest with you. First one's the hardest one to deal with. The first one is that God was bragging about Job's godly lifestyle to Satan. God was bragging, telling Satan, "You can't believe how incredibly godly Job is." Now, turn to your neighbor and just ask the question, does this make sense? Go ahead, just ask him, does this make sense? Why would God brag to Satan? Well, that's what the Bible says. Let's read it. Verse 4, read it with me. It says here, "Then the Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil.'" You see all the character qualities? This guy's got it together. He's not there creating a mess, cheating the IRS and his 1040. I mean, he's not stealing. Okay, this guy is great. Now listen, when you want to go for a job, you have to have references. This is a pretty good reference, wouldn't you say? And from whom it comes from helps. God says, "I like this guy. Got my thumb on him." I want you to notice that God is enjoying. He is enjoying pointing out Job's goodness. I want you to notice that. God enjoys when you walk with him. God enjoys when you do what's right. God enjoys when I obey. God enjoys when I trust him. And he notices. In your white space, let me just encourage you to write the word, "he notices." See, what you do isn't a mistake, or irrelevant, or a loss. God's paying attention to what you and I do. Sometimes we sing that song, "I am a friend of God." We like that song. But here we have something even deeper. Here we have the reality, God says, "I'm his friend." God says, "I notice you. I like what you're doing." And so here's Satan. Satan's got a response in verse 9. He says this. Would you read it with me? "Satan replied to the Lord, 'Yes, but.'" Stop there. Yes, but. Have you ever noticed Satan likes to get his butt into your life? He just butts into your life. And here it is. Here's Satan butting into your life, Job's life. Okay, so I remember that. Circle the word "but." Just remember, Satan likes to butt into the life of a godly person. You see that? Read with me. "Yes, but Job has a good reason to fear God. You have always," what? "Put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property." Did you catch that? The wall of protection. The wall of protection is what's talked about in the book of Proverbs over and over and over and over and over again. The wall of protection is when you obey, God says there is a path. And in this path, I protect. If you'll obey me, trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Just trust me and I will protect you. And that's why you've been asking some questions lately, because you're in the middle of this mess, going through this pain. And you say, "I've been doing things right. What's going on? I don't get it." Now, remember what Satan's job description said. Jesus gave it to us. Remember in John 10, "The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy." And so now he's really ticked because there's a wall of protection and he can't get into it. He goes on, the devil does. Read with me. "You have made him prosper in everything he does. look how rich he is. Now look at, here's the but. He's sticking his butt into your life again. Here it is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, I want you just to put a note in the white space of your message notes. There's not enough room for me to have you do all of this with filling in the blank. Just make a note that when Satan wants to attack you, he's going to take away your stuff. That's one of his strategies. We're not ignorant of his devices, Paul said in the New Testament. You're going to take your stuff away first. But now here's what may surprise you. Read with me verse 12. And this may be the thing that really gets you. Read it with me. Remember, this is Job, who never made a mistake. Job, who was always wonderful. Job, who was godly. Job, who didn't get into evil. And we read these words. Read it with me. All right, you may test him. The Lord just said to Satan, do whatever you want with anything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Now, I want you to take a moment, because I said this is the tough one. If you can get the tough one, the other two are not quite as difficult. When you're going through a mess, I want you to understand that the mess has been authorized and the mess has been limited. But it has been authorized by God. The problem you're going through has been allowed by God. Now, we know why. We know why the problem's been allowed. The problem's been allowed because God is bragging. Have you seen my servant? Put your name in there. Have you noticed how obedient they are? Yeah, but... And here comes Lucifer with his... He's going to stick his butt in your life. And you're going to have to deal with it. God's going to say, okay, up to this point, that's it. Up to this point, I'll let you mess with him, her. Up to this, that's it. You can't pass this line. And so Satan is limited. I want you to notice then, I want you to just realize that Satan is not able to do everything he wants to do. Satan can't come, kill, steal, and destroy if God says he can't. He can only do what God allows him to do. Now, immediately, we have a coordinated attack. And immediately, Lucifer starts in. And all of his oxen and his donkeys and his servants caring for them are all killed, except for one to bring the bad news to Job. Have you ever noticed that in the mess, there's always somebody who likes to make it a little bigger? Have you ever noticed that there's always some messenger with a megaphone? Okay? You're having a really bad day. Okay? Now, just while that guy with the megaphone was there, this coordinated attack was going on in three veins, and all the sheep and all the servants were killed, except one person to come back and carry the bad news. Oh, bad news! All your sheep and servants are dead. And then there's this line, only I have escaped to tell you. Okay? And then, you know the story, the story really gets worse because Megaphone Man 1 came, Megaphone Man 2 came, and right behind him came Megaphone Man 3, and this is the one that really hurts. All of his children were killed, and all of the servants that were caring for them. Except Megaphone Man number 3, okay? So, hey, and by the way, did you know your kids got killed too? Thank you, that felt good. Kind of like getting a text from Malaysian Air in March when the plane went down. Oh, listen, we lost the plane. Instead of telling them kindly and graciously, quietly. And the pain grows. And the pain grows. Now remember, this whole mess started because God said, hey, did you notice? I want you to notice this did not start because the devil said, hey, I'm upset about this guy. This started because God was bragging. God was right. God initiated this mess. Now, you got a choice. Either God knows you or God doesn't know you. Either God knows everything that's going to happen or God doesn't know everything. I know God knows me and God knows everything. He knows all of the future possibilities. So he knew when he bragged to Lucifer on Job, he knew what was going to happen. He knew this mess was going to happen. He did it anyway. Why? Well, it's the response. He understood what we did not know until we watched it happen. God understands what you don't know about yourself until the event occurs. Your problem isn't your problem. Your problem reveals the problem. When that guy backed into me, I just went, oh. Okay? When all of the cattle and all the donkeys and all the sheep and all the servants and all the kids were dead, except Megaphone Man 1, 2, and 3. This is what Job did. Would you read with me? Job stood up, tore his robe in grief, he shaved his head, and fell to the ground to worship. Now, when you tear your clothes in Bible days, it means your heart is torn. It's a sign of grief. Notice he shaved his head. That means he's taking a vow. He's taking a vow. When you shave your head, I'm going to dedicate myself to the Lord. And he falls to the ground to worship. And this is what he said. Read it with me. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. Now notice, here's the commentary. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. All of his prosperity's gone. All of his progeny are gone. And what does he do? Blesses God's name. He wasn't attached to his wealth. Character attached to wealth is greed. Character attached to prosperity is lust. But when he had those things, and if you've read through the book of Job on our reading schedule with me, you know that Job used his wealth to help widows and orphans and people in the community. And his statement was, well, I can't do that anymore, but God's in charge. He knows what's going on. When you go through trouble, this is your goal, right here. Praise the name of the Lord. He gave, he took away. Thank you, Lord. He gave, he took away. Thank you, Lord. Now that's our goal. Because God's bragging on you. And he's trying to rub Lucifer's face in it. In the glory that he gets from our lives. Which leads us to that second issue. I said there were three realities. Here's the second one. God persisted in bragging because of Job's integrity and godliness. Now, I don't know where you come from, but losing everything you have and losing all of your kids. Actually, what he did was he lost all of his production capability without the animals. Lost his servants. And he lost, which is kind of like having your farm machinery. Okay? And then he lost his children. So he's lost all ability to prosper. And you know what it's like when people do that. I would think that's sufficient pain. I would think God would have said, well done. Right answer. I'll bless you for your right answer. But that's not what happens. God comes back around, and Satan comes back around. And he's, look at this. We get it again. Virtually identical. Round two. Read it with me. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? Kind of a crazy question since Lucifer's been over there pretty personally lately, right? Okay? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God. He stays away from evil. I want you to notice, God is rubbing Satan's face in the glorification of God. You wonder why God brags on your godliness to Satan? Here it is. So that he can rub Lucifer's face in his glory. And he's using us as part of the story. He's just taking that evil serpent face, and he's just kind of, without even touching him, he's rubbing it like this. Have you noticed? And then God brags more on Job. Look what he says. And he has maintained his integrity even though you urged me to harm him without cause. Now I just want you to catch something. It's just a little thing. Write it in the margin and go, we'll move on. You can do a little digging on it. We can talk about it sometime when you want to. But I want you to notice that even though Lucifer wanted to do the attacking, God authorized the attacking. God limited the attacking. And how do we know that that was authorized and limited? Because God says, I'm the one who did it. I allowed it to happen. Look at, you urged me to harm him without cause. This goes through many times in this text. It goes through. There's other places where you can see this. Satan replied to the Lord. What did he say? Read it with me. Skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. Remember, I asked you, first of all, strategy number one, take away your stuff. What's strategy number two? Take away your health. So we know it's your possessions, it's your health. And God even says, okay, that's fine. Do with him as you please. But spare his life. Spare his life. And so now, by the way, is Job watching any of this? Does Job have some sort of telecommunication device to see what's going on in heaven? Job doesn't have a clue what's happening. Thank God for Job the book. Job the book would have been nice for Job the person. But Job the person didn't have Job the book. You have Job the book. You get to know what's going on. I get to know what's going on. But Job didn't know what was going on. And so first he loses all of his possessions, and now, and his progeny, and now he's going to lose his health. And notice what the Bible says. So Satan left the Lord's presence and struck Job, look at this, with terrible boils from head to foot. How bad were they? Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. Now, sitting among the ashes says he's fasting. But he's there, he's scraping the pus out of these things because that provides some relief from the pain. I'd like to tell you this one goes by real fast. But this painful pus and boils goes on for weeks. Some have said months as they've looked at the text carefully, which I can agree with. I want to remind you again, God was bragging on Job. I thought the limit was done. Wiped out everything, killed off everything. God said, no, it's okay, you can go another line. But there's a limit. Spare his life. I want you to remember, God always has a limit. When you're going through pain and problems, God always, when Satan attacks, God restricts. When Satan imagines, God limits. What you're going through, or what you have gone through, or what you will go through, has limits by God. And there's a reason for that. Just like we talk about temptation, it's true of trials. Paul says that the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. Remember, that's where we started. God is faithful. Why? He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Let's all say that out loud, that deep black underlined section. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. God knows your limit. Have you ever noticed that your limit and God's limit are different? Have you ever noticed that your limit is way over here and God's limit is way over here? It's kind of the reverse of what you think in your checkbook, you know? You think your checkbook limit's way over here, and when you get the bounce check, it was really way over there. I mean, it's just kind of like the reverse of the thing. Now look, this is talking about temptation, but it's true of trials also. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you can endure. God's got a plan. God's got a method. Now, the way out in Job's case and in most suffering is very simple. It's to glorify God in the mess. It's to glorify God in the mess. You need to magnify His name in your mess. And that's what Job does. Now, the point of all of this is this. And next week, in the next message, we're going to talk about the rewards for living this kind of life. Today, we're just laying the foundation. That God was glorifying Himself through Job's obedience. Remember, this is the guy who created the first rebellion. This is the guy who's always against the Lord. This is the guy and all of his minion armies, always against. And God loves to brag. When you walk with God, God loves to brag. And who does He love to brag to? The greatest rebellion man in the world. And so God takes a megaphone as well, you. And God uses you to stand true to Him. And God says, have you considered my servant? And then he names you or me. And he says, now watch this, Lucifer. And he just kind of rubs his face in the glory that you and I give to God despite the mess. In other words, God loves to show off. And the best way he can show off is through your love and my love in the midst of the mess, and rub Satan's face in it to give glory to the God of the angel armies. If you're going through hell, keep right on going. It might have been sent from heaven to make hell look bad. It may have been sent from God. Have you noticed my servant? The problem you're going through may just simply be an easier way to bring up the glory of God in the face of someone who constantly rebels against it, Lucifer himself. Now, when you think about this for a while, this takes character. Because pain is no fun. Do I have an amen? Pain is no fun. And I, probably just ahead of you, am opting out for pain every time I can. My wife, she goes to the doctor, she gets a shot, you know, we're talking, they shoot her, she, you know, like that. I'm getting a shot, they pull out the needle, I'm starting to talk. Now listen, can you get a smaller one? Do I really need this needle? I mean, I'm opposed to pain way long before it comes to me. Anybody here with me and understand what I'm talking about? I hate needles, okay? My father, when he would see a needle, he would faint. They literally had to in the military, when he got in the military, they literally had to come around behind him and hit him with the needle so that he didn't know it was coming. Otherwise, if he saw it, plunk, he was gone. I get that. I understand that. And I don't think that anybody should have this spiritual desire. My spiritual gift is being in pain. I don't think that's good either. I mean, spiritual masochism. I don't think that's biblical. But there is a place. Do you remember what the apostles said after they had been beaten for Christ? Would you read with me Acts 5:41? This is what they said. So they departed, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. There it is. Are you willing to suffer some shame? The pain? So you can glorify his name? Well, how in the world would you do this? What do you do when you're suffering? Job tells us exactly. He went through months of grief at the loss of his kids. I mean, that didn't just go away next week. Months of complaining from his wife. Curse God and die. You know, we always say, Lucifer's so smart. He took everything away from Job that would support him and gave him everything that would destroy him. And he kept his wife there, the nag. Okay, just curse God and die. And months of financial wreckage, losing almost everything he had. Months of broken health, where his breath was so bad his wife wouldn't even come near him. So that meant he didn't get any physical affection. And you and I both know what it's like not to have physical affection. Job says there's three things you need to know. You need to understand that God is at work even when you can't see it. God's at work. You don't see it. You don't know what's going on, but God is at work. He's spirit, and he's working. It's impossible to see him, but he's working. And so Job says in chapter 9, this is what he says, read it with me. Yet when he comes near, I cannot see him. When he moves by, I do not see him go. God's spirit, but God is working. Remember, Job didn't get Job 1 and 2. Did you remember that? Job didn't get 1 and 2. He didn't get the what's going on in heaven stuff. But God is working. The second thing I want you to notice is Job tells us to trust that God is all-powerful and he will accomplish what he is doing. God's going to make this right. God's character is he's good. He's good. And his faithful love endures forever. God's going to make this right. God's going to make this right. He's all-powerful. God can take care of everything. Remember, he's been limiting Lucifer in this whole discussion. And so Job says this, would you read it with me? If he snatches someone in death, who can stop him? Who dares to ask, what are you doing? Even Lucifer. Remember Lucifer? But Lucifer can't do a thing to you. Listen to me. Lucifer can't do a thing to you without the authorization and the limitation of God. If you're going to get some pain from Lucifer, it's going to have to get the approval of God. So what you're going through has been already thought through, approved, limited, and has an end to it. All you need to do is keep glorifying God and keep walking through it. And God's going to get you through it. God's going to do His will. And the third thing we need to realize is this. We need to cry out to Jesus in the midst of our mess. We need a mediator. We need someone to intercede to God on our behalf. Now, one of the saddest verses in Job is this next one. Would you read it slowly with me? "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together." Can you see the scene? You go up to the court. Here's God on one side, you on the other. You have a complaint. The judge is going to... You can't do that. He's a spirit. Now look it. "Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." There's no mediator. In the Old Testament, there was no mediator at this time in the East. I happen to believe this was during the captivity. Some people believe Job was written in Genesis. Wherever it is, there's no priest. There's no temple right now. There's no one to intercede for Job. That's why he was doing it himself at the beginning of the book. But thanks be to God that there's a mediator today. Amen. Here he is, 1 Timothy 2:5. Read it out with me nice and loud. "For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." There is a mediator. All you need to do, all I need to do is cry out to Jesus. Ask Him to help in the midst of your pain and your problems. James 1, just write it down in the white space. James 1, 2 through 5. Write it down. "God, if any of you fall into various trials, know that the testing of your faith," that's all a trial of trouble is, "testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be whole and entire, lacking nothing. And if anyone lacks wisdom," you don't know what in the world's going on, "let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not withhold." Trust me, you just need to trust God. You need to cry out to Jesus. You need to say, "I need some relief. Help me out. I'm in pain." And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, will do that. In fact, right now, right here, just before we close this message, let me just encourage you to bow your head right now. And quietly where you're sitting, just cry out to Jesus for the problem and the pain you've got right now. Just do it right now. Father, as people are writing that down, we're praying right now for them, asking You to intervene on their behalf and care for them. Father, meet their every need. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Would you like to help spread the word? Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you for your consideration. If you would like to explore how you can experience the love of God in a deeper, more real way, Dr. Smith has written a book to take you to that next level. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity from every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page. Never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us, by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. This book was written to convince the reader of God's intense and immense love for them, to encourage the reader to reach out to the God who is passionately in love with them, to strengthen the reader's faith in God's compassion, and to motivate the reader to share the love of God with every person they meet. It is very clear God loves people of all races and ethnicities. Therefore, whenever appropriate to the passage of the day, emphasis is made on the issue of racial reconciliation around God's love. His love becomes the motivation for evangelism and for community. In each daily devotional, there is a biblical scripture that they are encouraged to read. There is a passage of scripture to read in the devotional itself. There's a devotional to read which focuses the reader on a single thought, broken into two, three, or four practical ideas they can utilize that day in their lives, and there's a thought to take with the reader each day which summarizes the theme concerning God's great love for them. You can order a copy of In His Image at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, telling you we are praying you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.